Exhausted though we may be of anticipating and now celebrating the birth of our Lord, we find ourselves still in need of remembering exactly why the second person of the Blessed Trinity became man. Why did the Son of God take on human flesh? John, writing in his first letter, argues that the Son of God was revealed to destroy the works of the devil. No doubt Macy's, the wrapping paper industry, the candy makers, to say nothing of the reindeer union, are all very disappointed to hear that this joyful season is not about them. Well, we're sorry to disappoint. But this little chunk of the church calendar is set aside to help us answer a question so fundamental to our human nature that our scientists may one day find its gene and name it telos, or purpose. So time to store the glazed ham recipes, the shopping list, the gift receipts, that torn plastic bag of worn discount bows and ribbons, and pick up a nice clean sheet of paper and write across the top in permanent marker, "What am I looking for?" Like Joseph and Mary in Bethlehem, like the shepherds obeying the angels, like the three kings coming from the east, and like the billions of souls since Jesus lay in the manger, we are all looking for something. And that something is, in fact, a someone. So here's John the Baptist and a couple of his disciples standing around, and Jesus walks by. And John says, for all to hear, "Look, the Lamb of God." But John's disciples start following Jesus around. And after a while, Jesus stops and turns to them, and he asks, "What are you looking for?" The disciples' strange answer comes in two parts. First, they address Jesus as teacher. And second, they answer Jesus' question with a question. Where are you staying? Now, this question is not a request for a street address or an apartment number. They want to know where Jesus abides. Basically, in what truth or peace or justice does this teacher rest? Jesus answers them, "Come and you will see." The invitation to come and see is gospel speak, for there is no explanation I can give you that surpasses the excellence of simply experiencing the Christ firsthand. So come on. And they do. Okay, now that you've written across the top of your page, "What am I looking for?" What will you write in answer? You can be practical and write something like financial security, lots of friends, a good marriage. You can be spiritual and write peace, wisdom, mercy. Or maybe you want to be philosophical and write truth, clarity, goodness. Or maybe you want to be psychological and write integrated, actualized, self-possessed. Or maybe, just maybe, you want to be Christian and write, "I am looking for Christ, the Lamb of God." All those other things that you might write can be had in varying degrees without Christ. You can be practical, spiritual, philosophical, psychological, all day, every day, and never once think of Christ. So let me ask you another question. Where are you staying? On whom do you live? From whom do you derive your life, your love, your beauty, your truth, your goodness? If John's disciples walked past you today and someone said of you, "Look, a follower of Christ," and then the disciples turned to ask you, "Where are you staying?" could you say to them, with confidence and assurance of Jesus himself, "Come and you will see"? And what would you show them of Christ in your life? Could you say with Andrew and with the shepherds and with the three kings, We have found the Messiah. Would Jesus look at you and change your name to the Rock? The Son took on human flesh to destroy the works of the devil. One such work is the filtering edifices of abstractions, ologies, isms, theories, and speculations. All the gunk we set up between our desire for God and the satisfaction of that desire in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, "Come and see. Follow and see. Do and see. Walk with me and see." So dissolve the gunk in hearing Jesus ask you, "What are you looking for?" And then glory and triumph to hear him say to you, "Here I am."